Okay, quick side note. If you follow me on Instagram, you know that I'm working on my self-discipline with my self-care, and it's a journey, but I am making some progress thanks to this tool. So I've been using my Loombox red light therapy before bed, and I'm honestly loving it. It's one of those things I didn't fully understand at first, but now I'm reaching for it without thinking. So I could be that annoying person that lists out all the thousands of studies about red light therapy, but instead I'm just going to tell you why I'm personally using it. So I'm using it to help with my inflammation because unfortunately I have a lot of it. I'm also using it for cell regeneration for my skin. I'm using it to help regrow my hair. I've even used it on my kids when viruses are going through our house. So as a mom of four and a business owner, the relaxation I'm experiencing before bed is honestly life-changing. And so if you're curious about red light therapy and want to give it a try, you can actually take $260 off with my link in the show notes. So go check it out. Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Caitlin James Podcast. This is a place where we like to empower entrepreneurs to build profitable and purposeful businesses while also letting you in on the behind the scenes of some of our everyday life. And this is a great mix of both worlds. I'm going to be sharing from my passion for being an entrepreneur, an experience we had starting another business, and give you some tips for anybody who is in a season of potentially pivoting or tweaking or remarketing from a dead place. Just there's a lot of great nuggets of experience-based wisdom in this podcast, and I hope you enjoy it. So the last few podcasts, I have given you kind of like a personal update, what's going on in our life, what's happening, and I think I could do that in like 2 minutes. In a nutshell, life is full. It's always full. But we are getting ready to launch our second year of the school that we started. A lot of people get confused. It is not an online school. It is a like boots on the ground. We bought a property, physical school for our children. So when my oldest turned five and my sister and brother-in-law's oldest turned five, we wanted to have this school up and running for them so that they would start their journey into education through this model. It's called the Acton Academy model. It is very, very much founded on the thought that children can handle responsibility. They need more responsibility, that our world is full of a lot of apathetic kids that don't have passion or vision. They spend their years going through school and checking boxes and testing and passing standards of learning for their state if they go to public school and even private school. The model of education is sit and listen, retain something, mostly memorize everything else and test and then get out. And maybe you find a passion, maybe you figure out what you're good at, but for the most part, a lot of children go to college and they just are freaking out about a major. Then a lot of people pick the wrong major, then they get out of college and they hate their jobs. And then they go back to school, try to find another degree. But they've never been empowered to find their own dream and their own calling and change the world with it. They've never spent time or had anyone build into them to help them realize, like, you're a leader or you have an engineering mind. I can see it. You're so good at this. Does that mean you have to be an engineer? No, it could mean that you build something from the ground up and work for yourself. I mean, I want our children to grow up in an environment and in a setting where college and testing and SAT scores are not the focus of the ultimate goal for their development. That is why we created Acton Academy in Richmond. Acton Academy has been around for over a decade, and they're around the world, over 300 of them. And it is a beautiful model for education. It's basically taking homeschool, but putting it into a group setting with an entrepreneurial bent. And it's just awesome. Our children are loving it, and it is growing. We just did Acton IKEA Parent Night, which is basically, we had $4,000 worth of an IKEA order to set up a new discovery studio. These learners, they learn within studios that are multiple ages, and we are starting an older studio for older children who are ready and responsible enough to leave the Spark studio and head up to the next studio. And so we have a great new group heading up to a new space, and we had to set it up. And so we invite all the parents to get to know each other by building IKEA furniture, and it is genius because people are so much more comfortable talking while they're doing something together. They're even more comfortable talking to each other while they're building something towards a common goal. So they're all building furniture to set up the studio space for this school that their children are all attending, and they're getting to know each other while they do it. And we have pizza. It was awesome. So awesome. I mean, we just love it. So that's what's going on in our life. We're setting up a second studio for the school. We're prepping for that. We're doing all the summer things. It is very full around here. But it's also good. We actually just did a call with our coach this morning, and Michael was a kids camp counselor for 4 days, 2 weeks ago. And then him and my brother-in-law, Joe, and best friend Buddy and some other guys led a men's retreat at our lake house. That is just a very intentional weekend for like 30 plus guys, that most of them are, in their late 20s to mid 40s. They just share life together and try to work on being intentional men, which no one models that. I don't know if anyone's aware, but not many people model how to be men that live with intention and that can actually share about themselves and their life and be vulnerable, and that's not a weakness. But also, you know, they get away to be men and be guys and, you know, just do guys. I don't know what they do. They have a great time. And they hang out on the water and they form relationships. And so why am I telling you this? Because I feel like we're in a new season of growth, because Michael left for those two things that I know he felt very called to do, and he's using his gifts. And I kept all four children at home by myself. And, you know, we got a 5-month-old. We've got a challenging, I'm not going to tell you which one. Well, yeah, we got a challenging 2- and 4-year-old. They're both challenging boys right now. And then Evie, and it was a lot. I'll be honest, it was a lot. But in the past, this is the first year where I have not complained or had a horribly negative attitude towards Michael being gone for those 4 days. And I'm learning so much about how having more of a servant-minded attitude instead of a victim, like, I hope he realizes how hard this is for me. I hope he realizes this is so much work and it's overwhelming. And I had so many moments like that. But I refrained from like answering his check-in phone calls with like, yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, it's hard. I'm struggling over here. 'Cause my goal, my aim in that, which is another coaching concept, my aim in that would be to make him feel bad. If I can sound stressed on the phone, then he'll feel bad for what he's doing. That is so manipulative. And I've done that for many, many years. And this is the first year where I have been able to truly just embrace the role that I agreed to. I could have told him not to go. I could have said, no, it's too much for me, but I didn't. So then I'm going to take on the responsibility, even though it was hard, and I'm allowed to be stressed and I'm allowed to be overwhelmed, but I didn't try to aim to make him feel bad in my overwhelm. And that was a big personal win. So talk about being vulnerable. Now you just know one of my greatest flaws, and great. That's awesome. I guess that's what the podcast is for. But I will tell you, every time that I share something about the realities of how we operate in our marriage and our relationship and our day-to-day life and how we're growing through learning how to love and serve each other better in our marriage, I always get emails about it. I always get messages about people that are like, that was so helpful. And so I am not embarrassed by that at all. I have very much the mindset of our life from a faith perspective, our life exist to continually grow closer to becoming who we were designed to be through Jesus's eyes. Jesus was perfect. He was loving. He was patient. He would never call someone on the phone and try to make them feel bad for leaving you with all responsibility and do it in a manipulative way. That's not who he was. And so if my goal is to be more like Christ, then I feel like I'm doing a better job at that. Now, I'm probably falling apart in some other areas, but that part of me is doing better. Okay. I think I said I could update you in 1 minute, and that was 8. So let me keep going about the actual topic at hand. So life is full. It's crazy. It's busy, but it is wonderful. And I'm grateful for the season we're in. And I got more than like 3 hours of sleep last night, which is awesome. So I want to share with you 3 tips for marketing something that never existed. And basically in the process of explaining these tips, also walk through kind of the beginning of how we started a school from scratch. So this podcast episode, I'm trying to like, what's the phrase? Kill a bird with one stone, two birds, whatever that phrase is. I'm trying to do that here. I'm trying to multitask. So I know that phrase. It's just not coming to me. kill one bird with two, whatever. I loved, absolutely loved the process. I love the process of starting a new business. I love starting the school. I'm in charge of marketing the school. I loved it. And I'm learning so much about why I loved it now, because we're trying to start maybe a little something else, not anything drastic. Just, I want part of my business to live in another section, like to not be a part of KJP. So I'm in the process of starting something else, and I'm, it's so inspiring to me, and I love it. I thrive off of it. And I'm realizing creating content from nothing, I am so much more intentional about that. I'm better at that than almost continually marketing something that has a ton of content. And I'm going to break down why that is, and also share three tips for figuring out how to get the word out and how to share and market something when you're starting from nothing, right? That seems almost impossible, but yet for me, it seems so, I don't know, I just thrive in it. So before I dive into those three tips, I've had so many emails from people saying, will you please do an episode on how to start an Acton Academy? Now, there's probably those five people that have asked for this podcast and for me to break it down. There's not a ton of listeners that are going to be wanting to start an Acton Academy, but I want this content to live somewhere so I can direct them to it when they ask. So I'm going to break down some thoughts on if I was to sit down with someone and say, hey, this is what I would do if you're going to start an Acton Academy like we did. These are some things that I would share. And then I'm going to go into the three tips of how to market something that doesn't exist, so that this episode applies to anybody. When we start an Acton, first thing you need to do, and if you are just a parent that's listening to this and you're like, I want alternative education for my child. It's not that I don't want them in public school. It's that I don't want them sitting at a desk all day at a private school. I just don't like the thought. The studies that are coming out about how children learn, oh my goodness, it's fascinating. The amount of hours it takes for a child to be able to process new information through lecture-based teaching style versus play, I mean, it is just crazy. It's crazy. And I hear these statistics about how children need to be moving. They need to be free. They need to be interested in what they're learning. And I'm like, I'm so thankful that our children are in an environment every day for 6 hours that fosters this and doesn't squelch their love for learning. That's my goal for their educational journey, for them to graduate and be 18 years old and still be in love with figuring out the world, and not just like, oh, I got to get a job to make a living so I can buy stuff. Oh my gosh, I want them to be passionate about things. So anyway, if that's you, this first step in starting an Acton applies to you as well. Read the book, Courage to Grow by Laura Sandifer. She's the wife, her and her husband founded Acton. It's the story of Acton. It's the story of their children and how they got to a place of creating a new education model. It's amazing. It's the first step. Once you read it, you're obsessed with it. You're like, yep, still want to start a school. Think through if you have the capacity to start a school. Now, we did not have the capacity. We had to do a lot of pivoting. Michael was working with KJP, and the years leading up to starting Acton, we started gradually moving him out because Acton was going to be his world, and it's an amazing fit. That's a whole nother podcast talking about, I'm all over the place and I'm sorry, but I spent years, we just were talking to a friend upstairs this morning about this. I spent years of my business trying to help Michael find his passion, pretty much just not being in my own backyard, which means not worrying about myself, but trying to fix him. And that, I don't know if you've tried that in a marriage, but it doesn't work great. I spent so many years trying to help him find, like, what's your passion? I want you to have a passion. I don't want to just follow my passion. Like, what's yours? You can't force someone to find their passion. Like, that's just pretty simple, Caitlin. I should know that. But anyway, I found Acton, wanted it for our children, and then I was like, oh, this could be Michael's thing. Well, it didn't go over very well for me to tell Michael what his thing was going to be. Obviously, that wouldn't work for anyone. So we started building Acton with like the mindset that like it was a group effort and we're going to see how it unfolds. Well, I'm not trying to say I was right, but I was, because I mean, Michael, truly, this is such a gift for him. He's so good at teaching children growth mindsets, and there's no technical teaching at Acton, but he's a guide. He was a guide last year. He's going to be a guide for the Discovery Studio. And this is such his sweet spot. Like, he loves community. He loves interacting with the parents. He loves leading the learners. He loves gamifying education. I mean, it's just so awesome. So did we have the capacity to do it? No, not at the time. We had to work towards that. But that is part of the process that you need to figure out before you do the next step, which would be going to the Acton, like launch an Acton website, which I'll link in the show notes. Basically, it will walk you through a questionnaire and then you have to go through an acceptance process. And they're pretty, yeah, I kind of, I would say it's similar to like the Chick-fil-A process. If you want to open a Chick-fil-A, you can't just say, I'm going to own a Chick-fil-A and not be a part of it. You've got to be, that's got to be your thing. You got to be actively involved working on that location. It's got to be your baby. They don't want passive ownership. They want involved owners, and it's a part of the rules. And Acton is very similar. You can't just own an Acton and have no connection or capacity to pour into it regularly. So that is something to consider. You need $15,000. Part of that is because you're getting access to all of the resources of the Acton network, which is very valuable. It's incredibly valuable. Basically, you're not going to go create the plan for your studios because this has been done 10 years before you and there are best practices. You have access to all of that. But it's also $15,000 that you got to take it seriously, right? You're not going to take the Acton name and run it through the mud and not take it seriously. So you have to have $15,000 and then you start looking for your location. If you have 5 children, it could be in a basement. If you have 8 children, it could be in a basement of your home. Some people do, they rent out church spaces during the week. Some people buy commercial property. Some rent or lease commercial property. We actually bought a commercial property and it is wonderful now. It was not, looking back, that was a very unnecessary stress and it was a major stress. Now that we have it and it's renovated and all of our life savings is gone, not all of it, but a lot of it. Now that is gone, we do look back and we're like, we could have done it differently, but for what it is a beautiful property and we're thankful that we have it. But we probably could have been set up better for growth if we had saved that money, rented a space, and then grew and were able to like buy a big chunk of land for a campus, which is still a possibility and we need it because we're growing so fast. So anyway, look for a location that can look different for everybody. And then start sharing the Courage to Grow book with your friends. Don't shy away from talking about how you're going to start a school with no teachers. People are going to think you're crazy. I remember, I still can tell you the pockets of people that we mentioned what Acton was to them, and you could just see in their face the doubt. You could just see in the face like all the questions they had. And you know, I'm just learning from starting a school like Acton to deciding to give birth to a child in my own home, to deciding to do other things just differently, you're going to have people that don't understand you. And that has just got to be okay. If you're seeking the approval of everybody, you're going to end up copying everything else in the rest of the world. And you're not going to live a life that's pushing you towards the vision you ultimately want. You're going to live a life that makes you liked and appreciated and approved by everybody around you. And ultimately, you're living a life for them. So that was just for free. We're going to keep going. So if you're going to start an Acton, those are the steps. Those are the steps that I would dive into. And if you have questions, email and I will try to answer them. But when we started our Acton, it was very much starting a business without anything to show. We had a property that was a complete dump. It was, it wasn't a dump when we, parts of it were a dump when we bought it. There was a very cute antique shop that was the best part of the property, but there were other parts of the property, a dilapidated old house. There was a warehouse that had never been finished and it was truly a dump. I couldn't show that. Like I couldn't show the property on our Instagram account for months and months and months because it didn't look good and people could see it and then go find it, you know, on Broad Street and be like, this is what they're using. Like, this is where children are going to play and learn. This is a disaster. It looked like that until 2 weeks before we launched school. I mean, I had nothing to show. So I had to get creative. Like I had to get creative in a lot of ways. So here are three tips or three approaches to marketing something that doesn't exist yet. And who is this helpful for? It's helpful for anyone pivoting. If you're wanting to pivot into a new season of business, you're starting from scratch, right? You might be building off of what you've already built, but from a marketing perspective, you have to start from scratch. So anyone pivoting, anyone at the beginning of an entrepreneurial journey, maybe you're not pivoting into something else, but you're just starting from scratch. You're a photographer that wants to start a business and you have no images to show. right? You've never been hired to photograph any beautiful ring, right? Maybe you've been doing sessions for free and these people don't even have engagement rings. Like, you know, they're just broke and that's fine. But if you want to look like you've had experience shooting something a little bit more high end, you've got to go on Amazon and you got to spend $15 on a fake diamond ring that's, you know, 2 or 3 carats. And then you get some flowers and a white background poster board, something, and you photograph it so it's bright and it pops and it's crystal clear. And you put that on your Instagram account, even though it's fake, even though it's not real. It looks real. It looks high end. So you've got to fake it in order to, you got to fake it till you make it. It's a true phrase in a lot of senses. So it's for anybody in that season. It's in anyone who is in floundering in their marketing or content in their current business that they have. So that's who this could potentially help. So let's dive in. Number one, you have to recognize that creative restraint is actually a gift. What do I mean by that? I mean, when it's a free-for-all, when it's a giant white wall and someone says, paint something, that's actually, it's almost hard to be creative because there's so many possibilities. I feel like, and I'm seeing this time and time again, it's easier to be creative when you have like confined, like guardrails, boundaries, limited resources. It's easier for me to figure out how to be creative strategically than it is to have every possibility open to me in the world. When you start to realize that, then you start to access a part of your brain that is necessary to be an effective marketer. And that is to be able to pull marketing material from whatever you have that you're working with. And when you have too much content, you start to lose your focus. So for example, when we were starting this school, I couldn't show the school. It didn't exist. It was a mess. I couldn't show children like learning. It hadn't opened yet. We didn't have anyone signed up. We didn't even have like a studio to show. And I can't show another studio because that would be deceiving. I had nothing. So what did I have? I had to get creative about how I was marketing, and I was marketing more with the vision and the why and with words and with graphics than I ever was with actual images. I mean, I would take pictures of like maybe Micah building something with Legos and use that as the background of a reel. But mostly my content was being pulled from the mission and the vision and things to make people think about, like, why is there even a need for alternative education? Well, I put that into marketing content and I created something from nothing, which leads me to point number three. So number one is recognize that the constraint you feel, the lack of content you have, is actually a gift. It can actually serve you really well. And the way that I saw this happen for me is that I had to get clear on the mission of why we were building a school, because that was the only marketing content that I had. And so I wrote some very, I took a lot of time, really thought out these posts, like the points I want to make. And I filled up an Instagram feed with our mission before I ever had anything beautiful or visual to share. And so it helped me get clear. And I actually feel like the beginning of our journey, this is crazy, all these other acting academies would repost our posts. And I'm like, why are you doing this? We're the babies. Like, we're the newbies, you know? But I took so much time and care into crafting these posts that shared our heart for why we're building this school that other actions were like, oh my gosh, this is beautifully written. Like, that's exactly what we want to promote. So I'm going to share this on our stories. So we started to grow. But here I was thinking it's going to be a negative that I don't have a beautiful school to show. I don't have cute children running around and learning with their hands and being free in a field. And I don't have all that. But it was actually a gift that I didn't. I created something that needed to be created because I didn't have all the other stuff to put on our feed. And I'm not just thinking about this from an Instagram perspective, but for in a lot of ways for Acton, that is where the content is. We don't have a podcast for Acton yet. We don't have a marketing campaign. We're not sending ads to people. Like, our marketing is social media and creating an experience for our families, which is a whole nother podcast episode. So number one, recognize that creative restraint is a gift. Number two, make the little things big things. So I have a reel. If you scroll back on the Acton Academy, and this is not just for Acton, I did this for KJP too. So I would find the book. We would mail these Courage to Grow books out to potential families, and I had stacks of them. I acted like I had a stack of books to mail. I really only had one. I acted like I had a stack of books to mail, and I filmed myself stuffing the books into white bubble wrap mailers. And then I showed like taking the sticky part off and folding it up and putting the return address label with our logo on it, because that made us look legit, and writing just the beginning of an address for one family. But I actually only had one family to send to, but it looked like I was sending out like 15 books. That is making something from nothing. I would say majority of the people that we sent our books to didn't even sign up. Their children are not at Acton, which is another marketing tip. When you really get to know your people, you start to understand what their habits are, and you can use your marketing money in a better way. For example, if you're a photographer and you really find your people, you're probably going to want to stop running the not ads. You're probably going to want to stop running the Wedding Wire ads, right? Those aren't your people. You've found a way to find your people. For Acton, we were spending $500 on a box of these books and then mailing it out to potential families. And now looking back, we realize the families that were going to be true, great Acton fits, they find out about us and they buy the book on Audible immediately and listen to it within one day. They're not waiting for a book to come in the mail from us. They're so excited about it that they're diving in as soon as they can. They want to set up a Zoom call. So here we are spending $500 in our time mailing and writing letters to these families that could be interested. But the truth is, the people that booked never went through that process fully. Some did, but not all. Majority did not. And the majority, if they did get a book and they did sign up and their children are coming to Acton, they would have done that whether we mailed a book or not. So we've learned the hard way, but in a very normal way, that was marketing money that probably wasn't that necessary. But it was great for content. I mean, I literally filmed myself doing this and it made it seem like, oh my gosh, I mean, the applications are just flooding in, and they weren't flooding in. I mean, we launched this and we built up to it for months, and we launched in January and we had one person ready to sign up the day we released applications. One. And then we got breakfast with another person and didn't hear back from him for a month. And we're like, okay, so are we going to do this with like R2 and this one other child? Our goal was to have 12, and we had, what did we have? I think we had 11. They gradually came in, gradually. But through this process, I was working it. I was trying to make everything we did seem like it was substantial. If we had a meeting to try to work through legal things or money things or building things or planning things or hiring questions, I'd take a picture of us, the four of us as owners, in my office at our home having an Acton meeting and writing about like, this is what it looks like to build a dream. I would find any way that I could. Like if we were walking, we met all of our founding families at a park so that our children could play and we could get to know them, because having the right, this is another tip if you're starting in Acton, having the right founding families is so important. So we'd meet them, we'd get to know them. I would like, film our family holding hands, walking into the park, and post it on our stories and share like, going to meet another Acton family. I just had to pull content from anywhere. And when I was starting my photography business, this looked like taking flowers from the side of the road and taking a mason jar from a thrift store and a cute old little stool and kind of setting up these little vignettes in the front yard of my house where I lived in college and creating blog posts with beautiful images, practicing using my prime lenses, and talking about ideas for decorating for your wedding. But it was content. But I had literally was pulling that idea out of thin air. I mean, I had nothing to show. I had shot like two weddings. And so I had to create my own content. Creating little things and making them into big things is something that you lose when you start to have an abundance of content. So if you shoot five weddings in a row, back to back to back, and all of a sudden you're like, oh my gosh, there's so much that I could share. There's so much I could talk about. There's all of a sudden you lose a little bit of that intentionality and that creativity that allowed you to create something from nothing, because now you have all this stuff. And if you're creative, I think that's why a lot of creative people get so burned out with social media. It's because it's repurposing a lot of things that have already happened, and you're not using the scarcity mindset of like, I've got to create something to share. Instead, you've got a million things to share and you don't know what to share first. It dulls the creative mind, but it's just a part of business. So what are some other ways that you could make little things into big things? I think you need to have categories. And anybody that teaches anything about social media growth or marketing your business online, they're always going to talk about things like pillars, buckets, categories, whatever you want to call it. There are some themes that you can pull from. And for us, for Acton, the school, here are some kind of buckets we had. Property, the space, the visuals behind the scenes, like that's a bucket. The mission is a bucket. And then actions, help, invitations, which would be like wish lists, open house announcements, hiring. And then another category would be parents. And then as we've grown, I've created kind of other brand boosters, like other topics that are reoccurring stories, like Mr. Granddaddy is my dad who does maintenance at the school, but all the learners love him and they all call him Mr. Granddaddy. They don't even know what his real name is. And so whenever I am over there and he's working on something and then the learners are talking to him, you know, I take a picture of him and I add that, you know, into our brand. It's a part of our brand. It also personifies our brand. It gives people a hint into like the community that we're building, which honestly leads me to number three, to keep this kind of short and sweet, be personal. When you are pivoting, it is so easy to feel like I don't have my stuff together, so I'm not going to be vulnerable, or I'm not going to connect myself personally to this project because if it fails or it looks ridiculous, like I don't want people to know it's me. And what we have found time and time again is that people absolutely trust people over posts or just pictures. You have to insert yourself. The stories, the mission, the heart, the vulnerability, the struggle, the victories. You have to put that in there or no one is going to fully connect to what you're putting out into the world. I've seen this over and over and over again, and I know it's hard and I know it takes time and it takes practice. And if I could figure out a way to empower people on a deeper way to share personally, and to not overdo it, but to not underdo it, gosh, I would. I don't have the time for it right now, but I do think there's a beauty in being able to put a personality into a brand, which makes people trust at a level that they would never trust if it was just merely facts, merely just a graphic, just a, hey, we're hiring. Instead, hey, we're hiring people to take care of our children. And right now we have Miss Whitney, Miss Rachel, and Mr. Michael. And let me just tell you about why we love each one of them. That is so different than just a now hiring post. You want to be vulnerable to a certain degree without seeming like you're a hot mess, but you could also share the struggle. You want to be vulnerable and sharing how much of a victory certain things are without seeming like, man, you're just talking about how great you are. There's a balance and it's not that hard to find the balance. You just have to be willing to dive into figuring that out in order to have effective marketing in your pursuit for whatever business you're trying to build or whatever mission you have. So what are the three things? Recap. One, recognize creative restraint is a gift. Two, make little things big deals. Three, be personal in whatever content you can pull and create. Quite honestly, I told someone recently, I'm like, I kind of miss the first few months of starting this school because it was so fun. Everything they did, it was like, oh, more content. And now it's like, wow, gosh, they had a full week. They did so much. The app is full of photos. I don't even know where to begin. And I feel like I need to focus on one idea in order to create one piece of great content. But there are so many things happening that's hard to really rein myself in. Same thing with being a wedding photographer. There's all these things I could do to promote these weddings that I've shot, but it's hard because there are so many options and I have so much other stuff that I'm behind on. So starting something new, my encouragement is to enjoy the journey of it because there is beauty in not having a lot to show. There's beauty in starting something fresh and new. And if you can embrace that, it will make the first 2 years of any entrepreneurial venture, which are normally the hardest years of a business owner's life, it will make it more fun. You'll start to see more opportunity instead of just challenge. And so anyway, I hope this was helpful. If you are someone who doesn't run a business and you're like, I don't care about this stuff. You know, I just want to encourage you that no matter what you're starting, whether it is a business or whether it's a passion, whether it's a group trying to get together for it, like try starting something. It, maybe that's not your thing and you're more of a follower than a leader and that's fine. But my encouragement, looking back and thinking through all these things that we have started, is that we always felt nervous, like always felt like, gosh, this is a risk. Oh, I don't know what's going to happen. And the things that felt most risky were the things that turned into the greatest reward. So if you're listening to this and you're thinking like, I don't do anything like this. I'm not an entrepreneur. But maybe you have pieces of it in you. Maybe you do want to start something small. Maybe you just want to take two other moms and go and get together and start, doing book club while your kids play on the playground. I don't know. Just take initiative and try out doing something new, creating something new, and trust yourself in it. So, all right, this was great. I loved recapping with you guys, just life and then sharing these tips. And if you have questions or something was like kind of triggered in your mind of like, oh, I wish you would dive deeper into this, email us. I might not be able to respond, but I will read it and it'll help us build out the content for podcasts coming in the future. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Thank you for being a part of this, and I will be with you next time.